Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
This week on Not Sam Wrestling, we have part two of my conversation with Hornswoggle. The Wednesday Night Wars begin. October is here. Wrestling is different starting today, and we are here for all of it. This is Not Sam Wrestling.
This is Not Sam Wrestling.
Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Welcome. Hey, how about this? Starting out the week with Not Sam Wrestling on a Monday, huh? This is the new way. It's the way things are going to be for, you know, whatever, the foreseeable anyway. Welcome to Not Sam Wrestling. And this is it. This is the week that we've been talking about, theorizing about, waiting for, hoping for, thinking about. For months, if not longer. I mean, really, if you think about it, ever since WWE signed their TV deal with Fox, the billion-dollar TV deal that everybody talked about, it's when the conversations began. Even before AEW was a thing, it's when the conversations began. Then AEW, you know, All In and Cody and the Bucks and Being the Elite become AEW, and they announce they're going to TV, and everybody talks about, oh, what's this going to be like? Competition is actually going to be on weekly major network cable television, and competition, you know, with excitement on the level that we haven't seen since the days of WCW Monday Nitro. This is incredible. People started talking about that. Then only a month or so ago, WWE goes, oh, what the hell? How about this? NXT is on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. from now on. And it's like, oh, my God. You know, this is one of those scenarios where when you start to think about the elements that are being put into play for what everything really means and what this week could be, you really can, like, play it up in your head as, like, something bigger than it will be. You know, I mean, let's remember that Impact tried to restart the Monday Night Wars. Impact, TNA Impact moved their Impact show on Spike TV with Hulk Hogan on it to Monday nights, opposite Monday Night Raw. But, you know, very quickly that petered out because there wasn't the enthusiasm behind that product at the time that there is behind AEW. They also weren't, I don't think, doing anything all that different. They were more trying to cash in on a lot of WCW properties that WWE hadn't cashed in on. They were trying to cash in on maybe some WWE stars that wanted to work the lighter schedule and the more lax routine. And then sprinkling in a couple of their own guys, which really I don't think they were used to the fullest. I mean, if they had centered, really, if Impact had centered their promotion around the people that WWE kind of centers their promotion around today, it might have been a different story. But if you look at it, if you had watched a show that was centered around Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, bring in the Main Event Mafia, because I thought the Main Event Mafia was a great storyline. I thought, you know, have Kurt Angle, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, have the Main Event Mafia exist, but have everybody else on the roster be these guys that you would only, that are not associated with WWE and never have been associated with WWE. I think you'd really be onto something. And I mean, all that talent that Impact had access to certainly proved that talent has a way of rising to the top. You look at the people that are running wrestling now in terms of talent, and it's all Impact guys. I mean, even the Young Bucks were, you know, what were they called in Impact? They weren't called the Young Bucks. Oh, Generation Me. Even Generation Me was in TNA for a hot second. You know what I mean? But it wasn't, maybe it wasn't the right time. Maybe it just wasn't the right people. I don't know. all the ingredients were not cooked up in the pot at the exact right temperature the way they are now. Because when we were talking about this, and you know, this could easily have turned into all hype and then WWE doesn't really change anything and AEW comes on and it's an okay wrestling show and that's kind of it. But instead, both WWE and AEW are absolutely putting out all the stops. Sun's out, guns out. It's time to play. And they're showing the world what they can offer. Of course, this is AEW's first chance to show that to the world. But WWE is almost reminding the world of, look at what we can do when we're at our best. And we'll talk about premiere week and everything that entails during the State of Wrestling segment this week. But there's a reason why Not Sam Wrestling is on a Monday. Going forward, we're going to be on every Monday, and we're going to have a bonus podcast come out every Thursday afternoon. So subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed. Leave those ratings on the iTunes feed and all that. But whatever service you use, subscribe so that every Monday and every Thursday, a podcast drops. Monday morning, on your way to work, on your way to school, it'll be there. Thursday afternoon, it'll be there. Early afternoon, you know, before Thursday evening, you'll have a podcast. And what we'll do every Monday is we'll cover, we'll do our interview. Our interviews will air on Mondays. And then we'll cover anything that happened on SmackDown on Friday. We'll cover anything that happened on any pay-per-views over the weekend on Saturday or Sunday. And then anything going on in the world of wrestling news that would have happened, you know, over the extended weekend. Then on Thursday, we come on. No guest, you know, well, no interview. There may be guests on that show from time to time, but it'll be a purely topical show where we're talking about everything that happened on Raw, everything that happened on NXT, everything that happened on AEW Dynamite, and any other wrestling news that has occurred since the weekend. And there's going to be a lot of stuff happening. I mean, I think about it in my own life, and I'm looking around and just, I feel like there's more wrestling around me than ever. You know, I feel like, first of all, it's raining wrestling merch on me right now in the Not Sam studio, okay? I don't know if you've been noticing, but if you guys follow Ringside Collectibles on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, you've been seeing some videos that they've been posting. I've done some figure review videos for them. I went up to visit Ringside. I recorded a bunch of videos for them reviewing the next however many new figures that they have coming out. And at the same time, left that warehouse. I mean, thank God I drive a Jeep. Because had I taken any more figures with me from that warehouse, I would have needed an 18-wheeler. It was sick, the amount of WWE toys that I brought home with me from Ringside Collectibles. But it still wasn't enough, because at Ringside Collectibles, they didn't have the WWE Ghostbusters crossover elite figures that Mattel just put out. So I had to hit up my new buddy on Instagram, JB Toys, who's got an amazing collection. I had to hit him up, because he was able to find them. He was able to get me that set. So I got my Mattel Ghostbusters figures. I got a chalk line, stuff from them coming in all the time. I don't even remember half the time. I get so excited with what chalk line's coming, got out, whether it's a jacket or a tracksuit or anything. I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta have that. Oh, I gotta have that. Just today, I'm sitting down before I do the podcast and I see the blue Ric Flair tracksuit is coming out. And I'm like, yeah, of course I gotta have the blue Ric Flair tracksuit. Duh. Then I get a SmackDown 20th anniversary mini championship that the good folks of the WWE sent over just to celebrate the move to Fox. It's a miniature championship title replica, leather, metal, you know. And it says on it, I'm holding it right now, it says it's got the SmackDown logo on one side plate, 20th anniversary on the other side plate. And then it's got, it looks kind of like the SmackDown Women's Championship. It's white with blue in the background. And then under it, instead of it saying Women's Championship, it says October 4th, 2019, which is a very, very cool piece of memorabilia. I think they also sent out one of those for the 25th anniversary of Raw, if I'm not mistaken. But it's all happening, man. It's all happening, and all these organizations are putting their best foot forward. And we'll talk about everything going on this week in the State of Wrestling segment after the interview. I mean, you've got season premiere of Monday Night Raw on USA with the new announced team that we found out about. Vic, Dio, and Lawler. Surprising a lot of people. Again, stuff to talk about in State of Wrestling. I think I was going to say we have a night off on Tuesday, but I think Total Divas might be premiering on Tuesday. So if you need more wrestling content, you got your 3-hour Raw season premiere where the card is amazing, which, again, we'll go over everything in detail. Then you've got, I'm looking it up right now because I don't want to give you bad information. I know Total Divas does, this is the week that also Total Divas premieres. So it's either on Tuesday or Thursday. It's very good programming on the part of the E! Network. That's the day they decided to drop Total Divas, just in case. You know, I know there are a lot of wrestling fans that don't watch it, but, you know, just in case that's the time that you don't have a show. It says Wednesday. Is that right? That it premieres on Wednesday? That can't be right. Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday. So Tuesday night is Total Divas. You have Monday. You have Tuesday. Wednesday, of course, is going to be enormous because you have the first ever NXT on USA Live that's 2 hours long. Leading up to NXT, the last 2 weeks, we've done the first hour on USA, second hour on WWE Network. From here forward, both hours live on USA Network. And they've got a kickoff show that's going to be running on the WWE Network and all across WWE social media. I know, because I'm on it. Yours truly, Pat McAfee and Charlie Caruso at 7:30. And then running opposite NXT, TNT and AEW Dynamite is running the premiere episode. And we'll see what they bring to the table. Might have some time off on Thursday. And then Friday is the big SmackDown season premiere, Fox premiere, broadcast television premiere. It's going to be incredible. Fox is running different WWE specials on their network. I was just looking now. I'm recording this on Sunday, and like right after the NFL game in whatever area you're in is the WrestleMania's classic moments on Fox. It's amazing to see. And then on Friday, it'll be SmackDown, and everybody, they're getting hyped up for their WWE backstage show on Fox Sports 1. It's crazy. And then on Sunday, Hell in a Cell. Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins. So there's a lot to break down in State of Wrestling this week. We'll do all of it then. I feel like this is like the Not Sam Wrestling premiere. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like for some reason, even though I'm sure that, you know, this is whatever, the 258th episode. Most of you have been here for a long time. But if there are new people that are like, okay, wrestling's cool again, let's jump on some of these podcasts, welcome to the show. We're going to start the way we usually start the Monday show with our interview. By the way, programming note. I know it's like weird that it would already happen, but I'm going to be in Sacramento on Sunday for Hell in a Cell. I'm taking the red eye back from Sacramento to New York to make sure that I get to Sirius XM to do Jim Norton and Sam Roberts. So next week's Not Sam Wrestling may be Monday afternoon instead of Monday morning. Just saying. Won't happen regularly, but, you know, there's a lot going on in this wrestling world right now, and we're just trying to keep up with all of it. Part two of my interview with Hornswoggle is this week's interview. If you missed part one, you go back and you listen to Thursday's Not Sam Wrestling show. But Hornswoggle in part one, he talked about so much great stuff. He talked about his family and some of the rough stuff there. He talked about his release from WWE. And we went over in detail the classic story of him falling asleep under the ring and being late to be chokeslammed by The Undertaker. And then having to explain to The Undertaker where he was. I mean, just awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Listen to part one if you haven't already. The video eventually will be available on the YouTube channel. It'll be available first at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling for all the Not Sam shills. But now we've got part two where we talk about everything else. We talk about the highs and lows. We talk about Hornswoggle joining DX. We talk about some of the stuff he did with Vince McMahon and a whole lot more. If you liked part one, you're going to love part two. Ladies and gentlemen, this week on Not Sam Wrestling, part two of my conversation with Hornswoggle.
The Not Sam Wrestling interview.
So when you went through a couple of periods, really, I think, but when there were moments that you were being used like crazy, like I'm thinking right around the time of Little People's Court, when it was like, we're going to center this around Hornswoggle, right? And it's going to
be that little run that I had with Sean and Hunter, just that little tiny push there.
DX thing that got you another action figure and a t-shirt and just that little thing.
But when
you are being used on that level, right? And you're like multiple segments per show, one of the marquee acts, like, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, take anything away from Sean and Hunter, but you know, you are with them. Like you're becoming part of this marquee act. What is that like?
I remember just the coolest thing for me was being able to throw glow sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And do DX Pyro. I didn't care what I did on the show.
You did not?
No. That's not a lie at all. I didn't care. All I knew was I was throwing glow sticks and trying to hit people that weren't paying attention with them. And doing DX Pyro because I was X-Pac in that moment.
Right. And you talk about it. X-Pac is one of your idols.
I was so happy. I got to do house show tours and overseas tours and do DX Pyro every night. And it was the coolest thing ever. But that's like, it took, and I went through such high highs and then lows and then high highs.
Yeah.
And it was like rapid. There was no, very little in between, you know, a couple, like when I was with Natty and Kali, a little in between there. But other than that, it was high and then nothing, high and then nothing. And it just, I think that's what at times can, like, gets to a person, because you know, hey, 3 weeks ago I was pinning Vince McMahon on Raw,
right?
Something Stone Cold never did,
right?
And then I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, it's almost like you, I mean, the only way to survive is to kind of, I guess you have to just kind of cool everything down. Like the only,
not every act can be hot forever.
Right. And but you have to sit there when you're at your hottest, like not allowing yourself to get so into it. Oh, hang on. There it goes. Not allowing yourself to get so into it that you think that this is forever. Like just going like, enjoy this for what it is right now. Have a good time. But don't get attached to it, right?
Yeah, but that's so hard to do.
It's impossible.
It really is, because
I can tell you to do that, but you couldn't, you know, and you could tell me to do it if it were happening to me, but like we can't.
Hey Sam, don't get used to being a really good radio host, because, well, just don't get used to it, Sam.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's the thing, is you can't. When you're riding that high, you can't not get used to it.
Right.
It's hard to then not ride that high, because that's all you want. In all reality, that's all you want is that spot and that opportunity. And then when you don't have it, it's okay, but why was I good enough then?
Yeah. Were you ever able to get to a place where you could go, okay, I can't blame myself on this. It's not my fault.
Yes.
You were.
After a while, I would, you know, after pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching and nothing coming of it, I finally, you know, you finally just give up after a while. And you finally kind of just, all right, I must not be the guy right now.
Right.
That's why, the WLC, the Torito push and that whole thing caught me so off guard to an extent, because I wasn't being used for a long time there.
Yeah. So when you did the WLC, and we've talked about it before, and you've talked about how that was, you know, one of your favorite things you did in WWE, certainly your favorite match, because it was a real match and it was you without, you know, a whole bunch of people around you. It was just you getting to go out there and show the world what you can do, and you guys crushed it. It was the match that everybody was talking about coming off of that pay-per-view, and it was on the kickoff show. When that match was created, the WLC match with you and Torito, was it supposed to be the real match that it became? Because, or was that something that you guys were like, look, I know that you know, they want this to kind of be a comedy thing, and we can keep it funny and make it a comedy thing, but we can also have a hell of a match and shock the world.
So this was during my, God damn it, I just want to wrestle mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the opportunity, and we have the first 2 weeks, Torito and I, and they're letting us just kill it and do whatever. And then the third match, I think it was, where it didn't go very well. And it was on SmackDown, and then Vince immediately kind of had the mindset of, God damn it, they don't want to see two midgets beating each other up.
Except Vince wouldn't have said midgets. He doesn't like that word.
Little guy.
Right.
Two little guys, which he actually said. I use the term midget because it makes me money, of course.
Right.
They don't want to see two little guys beating each other up.
Mm-hmm.
I go, okay. So then I knew for the WLC thing, we were screwed. We had to do comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone, all of us, all seven of us had the mindset of, all right, we're given this really crazy opportunity. Let's kill it. Let's literally do everything we can that no one would expect. All right, hey, Drew, what do you want to do? I guess I'm just going to run out of the ring and do a flip over the top ropes through a table. Onto no one. Awesome. Jinder almost died taking that ladder bump. It's just like the craziness. Going into it, we all kind of had the mindset of, you know, we're going to do, this is going to be crazy. And no one's going to expect this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us could have thought it would get the reaction it did. And I still swear, and I say it all the time, I will never do anything better than that, ever, ever in my life. It was just, everything worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was amazing. And that was you guys going like, look, just everybody going, this is an opportunity. Because, you know, at the time, it's not like Jinder and Drew and Heath, and I mean, you guys weren't getting, 3MB wasn't getting pay-per-view opportunities.
Yeah, and between, like, we all just kind of wanted to stand out that night and do whatever we could to do that. And, man, it's the most talked about match I've ever done, and I think it always will be.
So in the book, you were talking about a story about your almost position as Raw General Manager. And that would have been the end of Hornswoggle.
Big Nick from Jersey, man.
Big Nick from Jersey. And it would have been like, you would have come out and played this character, but that would have been the end of Hornswoggle, correct?
It would have been the coolest thing ever.
Uh-huh.
Like, it would have, what it could have been for me could have been, like, so awesome. We would have never had WLC.
Right.
You know, so, but, man, like.
So what was the idea that there would be no acknowledgement of Hornswoggle, or how would?
That it was the whole time I was an adult playing this character to take all the stinking money from your stupid kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love it.
Because you're all buying my moich, as Kofi would say.
Moich. Well, yeah.
Which I believe is spelled M-O-I-C-H.
The only problem with Big Nick from Jersey was
I can't do a Jersey accent.
Yeah, and I can't for the life of me, like, I can't figure out why it has to be from Jersey. Like, why couldn't it have just been, like, Big Nick kind of sounds exactly like Dylan. Like, I think you still, you know, your accent is not so placeable.
I don't have a hillbilly country bumpkin accent or anything. Like, and they told me on Saturday and wanted it for Monday.
So on Saturday they call you and they're like, here's what we're thinking.
I was at my parents' house eating dinner.
Yeah.
And I get a call and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. You need to learn a Jersey accent. And I go, what? Like, so again, I make the mistake. I'm riding with Kofi and Hawkins, telling them when I get in, and they just, oh, this is going to be great because he's going to be the ultimate failure. These are my best friends.
Of course they are. So, like, and like, the thing about a Jersey accent is, if you're not from the East Coast, to differentiate between a New York accent and a Jersey accent and a Brooklyn accent and like all the different East Coast.
All I watched was the Roger Rabbit movie for the baby in that.
That's it.
The mafia movie. That's all I kept doing over and over and over.
And Kofi and Hawkins were there when you tried out the character that day, right?
Yeah, and they had me doing it over the mic to the whole arena.
Mm-hmm.
And Kofi and Hawkins were sitting opposite hard cam in the stands watching me. And then it was so bad that they cut the mic. And Kofi and Hawkins were really mad that they did that and started booing.
Because they were enjoying it.
Yes. They were enjoying my failure.
But this is how wild this world of wrestling is. When we talk about the highs and lows, that this thing like, okay, go in the ring and do a Jersey accent. If you can pull it off, then starting today, you're going to be the general manager of Raw and you're going to be on TV every week and be one of the biggest heels.
You're going to be a heel manager.
Yeah.
That runs the show.
Yeah.
And this whole time, there's no more Hornswoggle because you're an adult with a beard.
Right. But if you can't do a Jersey accent, never mind.
Exactly. Thinking about it now, I was an adult with a beard the whole time.
Of course you were. Hornswoggle had a beard.
In all reality. So why was it, God damn it, today you're an adult. If you can do this accent. If you can't, go back to being a dumb child.
Yeah. You're like, well, I thought I was a leprechaun, not a child.
Had to take speech lessons.
Did you take speech lessons?
Yeah, from a nun and from a teacher. 2 weeks in a row, Teddy Long tried to get me to talk, and they brought in an exorcist. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's
yeah.
great. Was there ever any sort of like, when they first pitched to you, we're going to bring you in and you're going to be Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of like, okay, we're going to try to be sensitive because to go to a dwarf and say, we want you to be a leprechaun is not the nicest thing you could ever do.
No, I don't think so. I think they kind of just thought, hey, if you don't want to do this, you won't do it.
Right.
Not using the term midget was huge, 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 huge. Vince would always, that's just so crass.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
I hate it because I love the word.
Use the word.
But yet you're going to have someone have sex with a dead person?
Well, that's a different deal. That's a totally different thing altogether.
Come on now. That's not crass.
No, that's parody. That's something else. That's ridiculous. Yeah, no, that's neither here nor there.
Now I'm okay with not using the term midget. Now that you put it like that.
Yeah, that's parody. That's ridiculous. You wouldn't even compare those two. Well, you're also not like sensitive about it either, so
no,
you can kind of read that on a person, I think, usually, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
care at all because I'm the first one to bully people.
But that's what I was literally just gonna go into that you've done lots of interviews and freely admitted. You know, people go, you know, oh, I heard that there are people in the locker room that have said you're a bully, and you have told them that's because I am a bully.
I am. I'm a dickhead. Like, I'm a really nice person to fans.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm but I'm to the guys, I'm hang right with them as being a bully. And sometimes more than they are. But it's just how I've always been. I've always been the one to make jokes and do this, and when Kali sucks in the ring, tell him he sucks.
Right. You're the guy to tell him that.
Yeah, I don't suck, man. You suck. You're not good, Kali. You do a chop and a big chop, and both of them you hurt people on. You suck. I know suck, man.
Now, you know, too, that part of this is, like, Kali could never attack you physically and not look like the bad guy. So you are kind of in this position where you can... That's why I'm like,
it's such a little shithead thing to do.
Because you know.
Yeah. If he hits, if he punches me,
right,
he's an asshole.
Of course he is. That's a terrible thing for him to do. All you did was sit there and give him every reason in the world to punch you in the face.
I tried to give him advice to make his life better.
Oh, my mistake. My mistake.
Yes.
But so have you, when you get into wrestling, because I mean, if you're always like that, you know, growing up or whatever, but when you first get into WWE, I would imagine there is a period of time where you got to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I don't know when it clicked, like, hey, I can be a dick, like, with everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know when that happened, but probably pretty quick. I don't know. Fit was always one to, you know, to rile guys up and start a couple jokes here and there, too. And I talk about it in the book. I don't know what caused the connection, between him and I.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, instant. It was an instant father-son connection that he and I had.
And it was just one of those things. Like, it just worked, because it could have easily just been a work relationship, right?
And it was at times.
Yeah.
We never rode together. We rode together twice. But it also was definitely more, like, I text him every Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. He's my wrestling dad. Him and Dreamer are my two wrestling dads, which I couldn't have two more different wrestling dads.
Yeah, that's true.
Finley and Tommy Dreamer, there's pretty opposite sides of the spectrum.
Now, speaking of wrestling dads, of course, when you find out that you're going to be Vince McMahon's son.
Yeah.
That's one of those moments, too. I mean, I would say that goes right along with DX. I mean, the highlights... I think
Vince's son stands out to me more.
I do too. I mean, I think that's probably the number one thing. But it's like it's the Mount Rushmore of Hornswoggle's WWE career is probably
Vince's son,
DX,
WLC, Mae Young giving birth to me.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's it. You nailed it.
That's better than that.
But so this, you didn't know. I mean, there was no sort of, obviously the plan wasn't you all along, but even when the plan was made for it to be you, you didn't know this until...
Oh, no, at 3 o'clock that afternoon.
Right.
Bruce Pritchard came up to me and said, give me your cell phone. I said, no.
What, are you trying to rob me, Pritchard?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is very odd. He goes, can I please have your phone? Okay. He goes... You're Vince's son. Or no, you're the son. And I go, no, I'm not. And he goes, yes, it's being revealed that you're the son. I go, awesome. He goes, you need to tell, because it was him, and I forget who was with Nick Daw, I think, from one of the props guys. I think, and he goes, tell us where your gear bag is. The rehearsal for this Vince's son segment is wrapping up right now. As guys are leaving, you're going to sneak under.
When they do the rehearsal, they're not going to reveal who it is because obviously they don't want anybody to stooge anything off.
It was like the last four people.
Right.
And then I went under the ring, and this was, like I said, 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon.
Right. And of course, the big reveal is actually coming in the overtime of Raw. So yes. you're there from 3 p.m. until 11 p.m. literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they literally got my bag out of the locker room and brought it to me, and I said, all I want is, could I text my dad to come here and get him tickets? And all I said is, hey, please come. The tickets are at will call. I would like you know, bring grandpa if you can. And him and my dad brought my grandpa that night, and it was awesome.
But that's so great that you were like, dad, I need you to see my moment for when I get on TV and it is revealed that another man is my father.
Everyone at work the next day, he laughs about it because everyone at work the next day was giving him a hard time.
you raised this boy to go on television.
Where's the money coming in?
When you joined the Kiss My Ass Club, but I guess it was the Bite My Ass Club for you. Do you know? Does Vince do some cleaning beforehand, or are any odors
smelling his asshole, Sam?
Well, I understand, but you're very close to it. Yeah.
No, get in there. The anus.
I was supposed to go, hey, Vince, you want to clean that real quick? Make sure it's all tidy for me?
Is there a bidet in the office? I don't know these things. I've never been in the scenario.
I don't know.
Are there any aromas? Are there any smells?
Sam, I don't spend time in Vince's bathroom looking to see if he's bideting before the Kiss My Ass Club.
Well, you would know, though, based on when you were as close to ground zero as anybody that I know.
Yeah, but I didn't look at the bidet situation or the asshole situation.
Okay, but I'm just asking any aromas.
I didn't smell shit.
Look at you. All right. Then I think he must have taken care of himself. That's very, he must respect you. That's very, very nice.
There's the overall of the podcast episode. I didn't smell shit.
Yeah. Let's get that to all the dirt sheet sites right now. but speaking of defecation, as we started, your nickname, as given, as put in the book, it's in the book by Kofi Kingston, is Doo Doo Dylan.
Yeah.
And Kofi tells the story of you pridefully, absolutely dismantling a rest stop bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, I have a problem.
What's the problem?
Most people call it IBS.
Wow. Wow, that's rough.
I call it I shit a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a 33-year-old man with a 3-year-old's bowels.
Yeah.
there's another quote for you, Sam.
I'm glad we're finally getting to the meat of this. You know, we spent enough time covering everything else.
This is like 2020. Yeah, this is the heart of the matter right here.
Right, this is why you wanted to do this show. Like, you knew this is the interview you're going to get out of Sam Roberts.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's always been my life.
But are you the type of person? Because, like, look. I do a radio show with Jim Norton, okay? I get reports on what he leaves in the bathroom, and sometimes he's happy about it, and sometimes he's disappointed in himself. But when I tell you that if he left a scene that Kofi Kingston describes that you left that scene in the bathroom, Jim Norton would be not only would he be thrilled, he would tell the story for years. So I want you to know, number one, I'm not judging you for being prideful in it, but that's the question. When you create...
It's a gas station bathroom, so
right.
Yes. I think if it were something else, it would be... Like, if it was in the locker room, I'd be really, really happy with it, and I'd find it really funny. But if it were at home, I'd be really embarrassed.
I really thought that the locker room thing was going to go a different direction just now. I did not think...
I would have loved it.
I forgot that you're a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's more part of my bullying. If I can destroy a toilet and other people have to use it that I'm work with.
Right.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Good for you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
we're all adults. Come on.
No, there isn't. If anything, it builds camaraderie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. How did you end up getting that old plug ski from Stephanie McMahon on Twitter for the book?
Oh, just that little one there.
Yeah, I saw. I had the book in the mail. I was like, I can't wait to read this book. I saw like your friends were tweeting it out. I saw like Dolph and Hawkins and Kofi, and like I was like, oh, cool. Like it's number. I'm thinking it's nice to see in this world of wrestling where all these bitter old men talk about how, you know, there's no real friends in wrestling. That there are, you know, there is this group of real friends and good dudes. And then all of a sudden, I see at Stephanie McMahon going, hey, congratulations on the book, at Hornswoggle, whatever, WWE. And I go, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I went, whoa. I never thought it would happen. I wouldn't have expected it. So... peek behind the curtain. I think I talk about it in the book. When I was released in 2016, I reached out to Stephanie and I said, hey, thank you so much for everything you and your whole family has did for me the last 10 years. I appreciate it more than you know, and let me live in my dream that I could never have thought I would have done. And most importantly, let a son be really, really proud of his father. Like, And that wasn't throwing a fishing line out. That wasn't anything. It was my true feelings at the time. And she responded fairly quickly with a thank you for all you did, Dylan. And you and Landon are always part of this family. And that, man, like, she doesn't have to say that.
No.
Like,
she. And by the way, I mean, that's an easy text to ignore. You know, I mean, you could, if
ignore it and yeah. not even, not, nothing.
Like, nothing.
So then when the book was coming out, I reached out. I said, hey, I have this book coming out. If you'd like to check it out. And she then tweeted about it. It was pretty awesome.
That's really awesome, dude.
It was, yeah, it, yeah, that's, it really makes you feel good that someone there and that in such a, part of power.
Yeah.
Place of power that them tweeting about this book. It's pretty cool.
Do you see yourself going back there at any point? Obviously, since you left WWE, you've done a ton of stuff. You did some stuff with Impact, and since then, you've been working independence just constantly.
Yeah. Independents are going to be me, Colt Cabana, and the Warlord, I'm pretty sure, next year.
Dude, I'm sitting here going, like, who is... Thank God Joey Ryan hasn't signed anywhere yet officially, because he's the last one. He's the only independent guy left.
I'm going to be Cabana and the Warlord. But no, it's... obviously. Yeah. I mean, it would be dumb to say no.
Right.
That's the place to be. You know, like... That's my dream. My dream is to wrestle for WWE, and it always was. And to be able to do the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, and then to be a part of the Women's Royal Rumble this year, it's just amazing. And stuff like that is just, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, man, it's awesome, man. And I'm happy that you know you're still popping up. And I think it's pretty obvious. You know, it's one of those things that. Like, I'm sure that, and you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the interview, that, like, how much it stings when, you know, the ball drops and the release happens and all this. But I feel like now enough time has passed since you were in WWE that people can start to reflect on it and really kind of figure out how much of an impact you had over those years. And, I mean, I know that, like... You could argue, like, you're not having Iron Man matches, but, like, it's an entertainment company, and there's a lot of Hornswoggle stuff that happened while you were there, and a pretty significant evolution of a character over 10 years.
I don't ever like to think that way. I don't ever like to think, like, oh, man, remember when I did this?
Right.
Oh, wait, I remember when I did that. But when it gets brought up, and some of those... I remember all of it. It just because it just still sticks out in my mind. It was so cool, and it was every time I got given something to do, it was awesome. Just opportunity after opportunity. I try to make the most out of each one of them, like we all do, and it was fun. Like no matter what, at the end of the day, you had to realize I shouldn't be here, but somehow I am. And it's pretty awesome that I am.
Well, you know, it's tough to find people in wrestling that are honest. It's tough to find people in wrestling that are not bitter. And somehow we found somebody who's both honest and not bitter, and he's put it all into a book. So I would recommend this is an excellent book for wrestling fans to get. Like for me, I think, you know, my favorite wrestling books ever... Mick Foley's book, obviously. Bret Hart's book, to me, is a masterpiece. Chris Jericho's first book is incredible. And this is on that list, man, because it's not, you know, you're right. It's not bitter. I'm glad that you waited and didn't just, like, get released and immediately write a book and have all your feelings in it.
It would have came off, even if it would have been the same story, I think if I would have released it right away, it would have came off as I was trying to be bitter.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get past some... feelings and then just let the stories be told and that's what's going on.
I with the book, I think the biggest thing that come out of it of how we put it together was it's it's not outline form. You can't, you know, it's not Wikipedia of I was born and then I had surgery and then I got hired and then this. We, you know, with the little short stories in between and breaking it up and stuff like that, I'm very, very happy with how that whole thing came together too, because it makes a flow. It really has a good flow to it. And I wish it was longer. Like I wish we didn't cut some of the stuff out. But we didn't want it to go on forever, and I'm very, very happy with it.
Well, it's awesome, man, and congratulations. Life is short, and so am I. Dylan Hornswoggle Postel. It's in bookstores. It's on Amazon. It's all over the place. Do you have copies, like, when you go and do...
I actually just literally sold my last one this last weekend, I have another. I have another shipment coming in, which blows my mind.
It's incredible. Just,
I just tweeted about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
One of the writers, Ian Douglas, saw it on Amazon that it was the number one new release, and crazy to me that man. It's I'm a kid from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, that somehow wrote a book, and it's pretty awesome.
It's awesome, and the success of this book is going to completely make up for the fact that at one point The Rock may or may not have thought Dylan was a Make-A-Wish kid. It's going to make everything better.
Thank you for not bringing up Punk like every other interview does.
I mean,
I appreciate that.
Well, like, I'm looking at interviews and I'm like, how many times can people possibly? So are you still talking to Punk? Are you still like?
Every time.
Anybody that wants to know.
I know it's going to happen. But it's the Rock thing is, I feel like that could have been the end of the book. It's such a crazy story. But again, you think back on it, he wasn't watching wrestling.
Right.
And he wasn't watching the Leprechaun on wrestling.
Right. Yeah, he was busy.
He's making billion-dollar movies. Like, he doesn't need to watch wrestling.
Right.
And
these are big movies that he's actually in, not just listed as being in, such as Leprechaun.
I was in it, asshole. Son of a bitch. My name is on the poster. I had to do all the work. I pooped in the suit. It's son of a bitch. I knew I liked Hawkins and Ryder's podcast better.
Well, listen, man. It's always a pleasure. Everybody check out the book, and thanks for making the time.
I appreciate it, man.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Welcome to it. The State of Wrestling on the first ever Monday edition of Not Sam Wrestling. Hope you guys enjoyed the conclusion of the interview with Hornswoggle. And hope you guys are enjoying the podcast here on a Monday. Don't forget, we'll be here every single Monday morning and every single Thursday afternoon because there is so much dang wrestling to cover. Now, previously, the State of Wrestling, throughout its history, has evolved to basically be a presentation of the top five stories of the week, according to yours truly, the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts. We will be doing a State of Wrestling still on every Monday show. The Thursday show will basically be a second State of Wrestling. But because we're doing the show twice a week, and because we're going to start leaning so topical, assuming anything's happening, by the way, in these two, three, really, if we got WWE, NXT, and AEW, all putting on TV shows. If nothing's happening on these TV shows, I'm going to have to take the podcast back down to a week. But if nothing's happening across Raw, SmackDown, AEW, NXT, if I can't get 2 days worth of podcasts a week out of those four shows alone, not to mention pay-per-views, we have a much bigger problem than figuring out a podcast schedule, okay? So I don't see that happening. But here we are. This is it. State of Wrestling time. And at least for this week, I'm not going to do the traditional top five stories of the week thing because I think for today's show, this is the last show. This is being recorded on Sunday. If you're on patreon.com/NotSamWrestling, if you're a Not Sam show, you're getting the show on Sunday. If not, you're getting it Monday morning. Okay, not that big of a difference either way, but the point is, that if you're listening to this as soon as it comes out, you are hearing the last conversation that we can have before theoretically the wrestling world as we know it changes. And by the way, if the wrestling world as we know it does change, understand it was reported here first by hack wrestling journalist, the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, a.k.a. Scoops Roberts. Scoops Roberts, coming to you first, my inside sources in both promotions, all three promotions, nine promotions, are all telling me that the wrestling world is going to change. Heard it here first. That's the inside track that you're getting here, okay? And lots of scoops are still going to come. As always, you know, we were the first to break the news of Carmella winning the 24/7 title. First to break the news that not only would Baron Corbin win, but he would change his crown. First to break the news that, WrestleMania was going to sell out. All kinds of scoops get broken here first. And, having a hack wrestling journalist like me be the host of the show really does benefit all of you. I will say that immensely. But we're not going to do the top five format because instead, I think today we're going to talk about, we're just going to look forward to the week. We're not even going to get to Hell in a Cell. How's this? There is so much going on. Hell in a Cell is in less than 1 week. 1 week from right now, Hell in a Cell will have concluded. And there is so much, hypothetically, between now and then, we don't even have time to talk about Hell in a Cell. How about this? There's a draft coming in like 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. We're like a week and a half away from a draft, right? I think the draft is a week from Friday, starts. Way too much to talk about. We can't even do a fantasy draft yet. Fantasy draft is going to have to wait at least a week, if not a week and a half. We might do a fantasy draft a week from Thursday on the podcast. But there's way too much. That's how much is happening right now. All we can do is cover the next 5 days or so. Let the cards fall as they may, and then get us back there on Thursday. Figure out where we are on Thursday when all the cards have fallen and we start to get a smell of what this world looks like. So let's get started with where we're at. And a couple of stories that have broken at least since Thursday. Number one, the internet is talking about a potential CM Punk comeback to the WWE. I know. You're like, is this a rerun, Scoops? No, it's not a rerun. I understand we've had this conversation before. The hot rumor on the street was that CM Punk had auditioned for the WWE Backstage Fox show. And since it is a Fox show, that the hosts of that show and the producers of that show are Fox employees paid by Fox, whatever, independent contractors. Point is, it's not a WWE show. It's a Fox show that centers around WWE. And so the rumor is that CM Punk auditioned for that show because he doesn't mind working for Fox, but in reality, he'd be back on what is, for all intents and purposes, a WWE show, and what a move that would make, and what a move that would be. A lot of people have comments one way or the other, CM Punk returning, CM Punk not returning, CM Punk being on a talk show, the fact that this is a Fox show, not a WWE show, blah, 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 blah. Look, here's my opinion on it. Number one, if CM Punk had auditioned for this show, WWE Backstage, it was announced this week. We'll go over the announcers in a second. WWE Backstage is happening. It's going to happen starting in November, I think, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. In my opinion, if CM Punk had auditioned for this show and WWE would have allowed, like, nobody was there, it was up to Fox, there's no way that CM Punk wouldn't have gotten the job. I mean, if you want eyes on your show, you're putting CM Punk on the show. And that's not to take anything away from any of the people that are hosting the show. It's just one of those things. Like, you know, you got your whole movie cast, but if George Clooney shows up and he's like, hey, you think I could star in it? You're letting George Clooney star in the movie. So I don't believe that CM Punk went in for an audition and like there's something more to the story than that. I'm not saying there's not some kind of connection here. I'm not saying there aren't dots to be connected, but I am saying that CM Punk did not just audition for the show because we already know who's hosting it and it's not CM Punk. Now, I also have a hard time believing that WWE is completely hands-off with a show called WWE Backstage hosted by two of their personalities on a network that their shows are on. Like, clearly, whether it's a Fox show or not, WWE has their hands in it. You know what I mean? Like, they just do. And that's a good thing, I think. But I don't believe that, you know, oh, I don't know, WWE, all they can do is sit back and watch this show. No, their talent is the one who's hosting it. So that doesn't make any sense either. But to me, anyway, it's all opinion. I haven't talked to anybody about this stuff. But I will say that in my opinion, you know, people were saying that CM Punk shouldn't be wrestling again. He'd be great on a talk show. And he would be great on a talk show. But I think for CM Punk, if he were to return to do a talk show, or to be an announcer or whatever, to be a non-wrestler, I think he would have to come back and do one match. I think he would have to give the fans one match, do his one match, and then he could go off and do whatever else, whatever else he has to do. But I think the way he left WWE was so abrupt. The demand for him, his return has been so long. And the fact that he's still in good shape, and there's no reason for him not to be wrestling. I think that if he didn't come back for at least one more match, if he were to host something as an announcer, fans would be sitting there going like, we don't want this. We want you to wrestle again. If he came back for one match and he had a storyline and the story went forward and he said, okay, I'm done, then I think fans would get that closure that would allow us to sit there and go like, okay, now we can enjoy him on this wrestling talk show. But I do think he needs to come back for one match. And he definitely will. I told you, and by the way, if he does come back to WWE for one match, I want full credit, as reported by hack wrestling journalist Sam Roberts, Scoops Roberts first. I told you when he did his interview at StarCast and he said he was open to all phone calls, in that moment I said, I believe that Punk will be back in a WWE ring. I still believe Punk will be back in a WWE ring. I could easily see a scenario where he's hosting an interview show, but I think before he does that, WWE is aware that the excitement that the audience would feel, that the news that it would generate to have Cult of Personality playing on any of their shows, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, and there's reasons for all three. I'll tell you what the reasons are. You put them on Raw because it reminds people that Raw is still the A show. A lot of people are talking about this. Now, is it the A show? Is it not the A show? You put them on Raw to remind everybody, like, you have to watch Raw every week. It's still the WWE's franchise player. You put them on NXT, number one, to cement the NXT brand as a mainstream brand where you never know what's going to happen. And because a move like that would clearly show domination for Wednesday night, with two wrestling shows on at the same time, if CM Punk were to show up on one of them, all wrestling fans are switching over to that channel. So that's the reason to go to NXT. And then, of course, SmackDown. You know, you want to put your best foot forward now that you're on Fox, and you want these big things to happen, boom, CM Punk on SmackDown. So there's reasons for him to go to all three. But I think that if and when CM Punk does come back, it should be on one of the wrestling shows, and it should be to start a storyline where he's got a match with somebody, whether it's a bad guy Triple H, whether it's a returning Steve Austin, because Steve Austin said on his podcast that he was healthy enough to return, whether it's John Cena coming out of retirement, you know, whether it's Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, whether it's Kevin Owens, you know what I mean? Whoever it is, people will just be happy that it's happening, and I think it should. And once that happens, then I think it's off to the races. CM Punk can be used for any of the various talents that that man has. But that conversation was based on the fact that it was announced that WWE Backstage is coming to Fox Sports 1 in November, Tuesdays at 11 p.m., hosted by Renee Young and Booker T, who, if you're going to have a WWE chat show, I can't think of two better people to host than Renee Young and Booker T. I mean, I mean, you watch the kickoff shows. Seeing Booker T on them, he's just so good. He's comfortable. He's knowledgeable. He's entertaining. You can put your trust in him. You know, he's just a really good, informed host that, oh yeah, happens to be a multi-time world champion, multi-time tag champion, multi-time Hall of Famer, and has more credibility than just about anybody. Then you've got Renee on the other mic, who, let's be honest, talking smack for a moment in time was maybe the best show WWE had. And that was when Daniel Bryan and Renee were hosting it together. I mean, when Renee is given a microphone and allowed to convey a message in her own words and be entertaining, she's just as solid as a host can possibly be. You know, and I go back to the kickoff shows with Renee. I go back to the talking smack segments. I go back to all this stuff. I mean, even when she's doing backstage interviews, there was just something about Renee that she stood out from everybody. You know, so I think that this is a wonderful choice for Backstage WWE, which is going to air on Fox Sports 1. Now, all this came down because the announcements for the new announcers were made late last week. And we've got on SmackDown, so NXT is staying the same. NXT, we've got Mauro, Nigel, and Beth Phoenix, who I think the three of them have just really shown an incredible chemistry. And, you know, I don't know if it's because I come from the broadcasting world that I'm a little bit more aware of the work that really needs to be put into being a great commentator. But man, Beth Phoenix has done miles in minutes. Beth Phoenix has come so far, so quickly. The fact that you've got Nigel McGuinness, who's been doing NXT for years. Before that, he was doing commentary for Ring of Honor. And before that, was just one of the best brains in wrestling. You got Mauro Ranallo, who's decades in as a play-by-play guy, and walking into NXT is the fans' favorite play-by-play person in wrestling right now. In my opinion, it seems like he is the fan favorite play-by-play announcer in wrestling. So to look at those two and to walk in and be Beth Phoenix, who doesn't have a ton of experience, and go, oh my God, I am jumping in the deep end. Oh, and by the way, a month, however long it's been into your being the NXT full-time announcer, we're going to be on USA Live every week. What? And she just jumped in, no problem. I mean, I guess that's why she stood out so much as a competitor, because she's just ready for competition. But she's ready to be great. And she is great. So I'm super happy that the three of them are remaining. Then you've got SmackDown is getting the big shakeup. You've got Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton saying goodbye. You've got Michael Cole coming in. Corey Graves staying at the table. And Renee Young is being introduced as a special contributor. And I think that that's pretty important, because when you're looking at the Raw and the NXT broadcast teams, none of the people were described as special contributors. On Raw, you've got play-by-play and two analysts. NXT, play-by-play and two analysts. SmackDown, you've got one play-by-play, one analyst, and a special contributor. That makes me believe that Renee Young will be more of a sidelines reporter type. Again, I know everybody, but I haven't spoken to anybody about what their official roles are, anything like that, because I didn't want that to cloud the conversation that we were going to have. But I think that in an effort to be a little different than the typical WWE show, and I think that in an effort to put on a little bit of a more sports-like broadcast, the way NXT has already done, by the way, I think the way I read it, and it's just in a press release that everybody got, and it says, SmackDown will feature Michael Cole handling play-by-play, Corey Graves serving as analyst, and Renee Young as a special contributor. I think Renee Young is going to be a sideline reporter for wrestling. And I think that, but I think it's going to be done in a way that hasn't been done before. I don't think she'll be my guest at this time, backstage in front of a monitor interview person. I think that she'll be providing analysis from the sidelines somewhere. You know, whether it's at ringside, whether it's, you know, next to the stage while the announcers are next to the ring, whatever it is. I think that Renee Young will have a special role, and I think that she should. But I read that to believe that at least, you know, for the most part, we're looking at a two-man booth for SmackDown, and that's Michael Cole and Corey Graves. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that sounds like. You know, I think that Michael Cole and Corey Graves, in terms of presenting the WWE product, you don't have a better play-by-play guy or color commentator in the world. Like, you know, I mean, to me, Michael Cole and Corey Graves, commentator, play-by-play, is a dream team out of the park home run. You know what I mean? And you can hear that when you listen to Raw. You can hear, I mean, and WWE is full of outrageously talented announcers. But, you know, I think that's going to be a really interesting to hear two-person booth. Unless Renee is sitting in and I'm totally wrong. And if so, you know, I'm all for it too because, you know, commentary on Raw is good. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be the same as Raw. I think that Renee will have a new role on SmackDown. And I think that Corey Graves and Michael Cole will be a two-person booth. That's what I think. That's my guess. And if they are, you heard it here. Scoops Roberts. And then the big news to me, even though I think, you know, Renee's special contributor, theoretically, Cole and Graves as two-man booth, that's pretty big news. But I think the biggest news is that over on Raw, you've got an entirely new booth. You got Vic Joseph coming in to do play-by-play, which I'm so happy for Vic because he's, you know, a diehard wrestling fan. He started in independent wrestling. Like, this is a wrestling guy. And he's been in WWE for a couple years. You know, he's done NXT UK. He's done 205 Live. He's done some stuff in NXT as well. And he's filled in here and there. A couple of weeks ago, when Graves was out, Jerry Lawler filled in for Graves. He got hurt. Michael Cole slid over to the color commentary position, to the analyst position. And Vic Joseph stepped in for play-by-play, and I thought he was great, and I looked at the fan feedback on Twitter, and it was, I mean, I don't think anything but positive. The color commentator, the analyst for Monday Night Raw, the first one mentioned, Dio Madden. And this is what really caught people off guard, and this is, I think new is good. So, you know, it gets me interested. But Dio Madden has very little, as far as I know, commentary experience. I know that he's a giant of a man. I know that he used to play football. I know that he came into WWE and into NXT as a wrestler. He's wrestled on live events. I believe he was trained over at Booker T's Reality of Wrestling school and wrestled over there for Reality of Wrestling. But recently, he was brought on to 205 Live when NXT went full-time on USA. Nigel McGuinness was taken off 205 Live. And Dio came on, and it was Dio, it was Vic, and it was Aiden English as your 205 Live team. Dio is getting the move to Raw already, which, I mean, even he, I think he tweeted something like, I'm not sure if I deserve this, but I'm so appreciative, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I think that, you know, you couldn't ask for a better response than that, but... you know, I don't think it's any... I think the whole conversation about, well, he doesn't deserve... there's no... If he's good, he deserves it. And I think if he wasn't good, they wouldn't put him in the position to be there. So I'm anxious to hear what that sounds like. Jerry Lawler rounds out that table. Jerry Lawler hasn't been a full-time color commentator on Raw in a long time. But he did an interview that I read online where he basically said that there was an idea to bring Vic and Dio to Monday Night Raw. And that the call was made of saying, look, you can't just throw two young guys onto the franchise show. Let's bring Lawler in. And I think that that's the way I looked at it, too. I said, you know, as much as Vic has been doing this for years, he's never done Monday Night Raw full time before. And that's a tremendously difficult job to do. Dio also, like, you know, like Vic would be put in a position because he's the one with experience to not only figure out how to do Raw every week, but also help Dio learn. And I think that that's a tough position for Dio to be in. It's a tough position for Vic to be in. So bringing in Jerry Lawler, I think, is going to help round out the whole group. And I actually think that Jerry Lawler, he sounded really good for the two segments or whatever that he did the week that The Fiend took him out. So, you know, I think the shows are going to sound very new and very different. And I think that that's a very good thing. And I love that there are separate announcers for each brand. For the first time in the brand split, I feel like we're actually going to get different shows. This is something that's been promised forever, never delivered on. They flirted with it slightly at the beginning of the last brand split, where they would, like, you know, they would use that jib camera when SmackDown Live first started to kind of make it seem different. But that didn't last long, and it's become, again, two shows that feel like, you know, they're very, very, very similar, if not exactly the same. So I do feel like this is going to be different. And even if you just look at the booking, it seems like there are different people running the shows now. You know, it's like you can feel newness on Raw. You can feel newness on SmackDown. And I think that we're starting to see what these shows are going to look like when the promises that were announced earlier this summer with Paul Heyman coming to Raw and Eric Bischoff going to SmackDown, like, okay, let's take the training wheels off and let's see what these guys can do. And I think it's going to be really good. Let's talk about what the shows look like coming up this week. First of all, tonight, you got Monday Night Raw, the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. And this is what you've got announced for Raw so far. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman will appear on the show. Now, Brock's got a busy week. He's going to be on SmackDown, you know, a WWE Championship match against Kofi Kingston. So I would imagine that this will end up being a commercial for that. I would imagine that Brock Lesnar is really showing up on Raw, number one, because Brock Lesnar is always going to bring eyes to television screens, but number two, because he's going to inform those eyes that he's going to be on SmackDown, so tune in, because he's taking the WWE Championship from Kofi Kingston. So I think that that's what that's all about. You got Miz TV, where The Miz has Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan in the ring at the same time. You know, I don't think that we're going to get any earth-shattering announcements. We might. You know, I mean, if you really want what for, you could have The Fiend take out Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan in one shot. That's all I'm saying. I know I said it about Stone Cold, but I'm saying if he took out Lawler, he took out Angle, took out Finn Balor, he's taking out legends. He took out Mick Foley. Taking out Hogan and Flair would be a big shot. It'd be a big, big shot. Or at least have Hogan leave the ring for whatever reason and have him take out Flair. Do something. I want to see The Fiend take out at least one of these two guys. You got Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio for the Universal Championship. I think that this is going to be... So I went and to the premiere this week, over the weekend, of The Irishman, which is the Martin Scorsese movie that's coming to Netflix. And I know, humble brag, why don't you pick up that name you just dropped? But allow me to explain why I brought that up. Martin Scorsese, director. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, Harvey Keitel. This movie is incredible. The acting is out of this world. And it seemed to me like you had probably the last time we're going to see Martin Scorsese, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel, all on a bill together. It felt like a swan song. It felt like everybody involved with this movie leaving everything on the table and going, I'm going to give you one more to remember me by. And I bring that up because I think that's what you can expect out of Rey Mysterio on this show. I think that realistically, this could be the last time that Rey Mysterio competes for a major championship. And when I say major, I mean the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship. I think Rey Mysterio's career is winding down, storyline and real life. And I think that this could be one of the last, if not the last, Universal Championship match that Rey gets. I don't see him headlining a pay-per-view. I see him wrestling on pay-per-views. I don't see him headlining a pay-per-view. So I think this is going to be the one that Ray says, I'm going to give you guys one more to remember me by. You know, I think if this goes according to plan, and I think, you know, think about it. I mean, Paul Heyman brought Rey Mysterio to America. Paul Heyman brought Rey Mysterio into ECW before there even was a WCW Cruiserweight division. You know, Paul Heyman knows how to appreciate Rey Mysterio. So I think that what you're going to end up seeing is Paul Heyman going, look, ECW was the first time that people saw Rey Mysterio and what he could do. Let's show him again. And I think you're going to see a match that gets a couple segments. I think you're going to see a match that gets some time. And I think you're going to see Rey Mysterio give you the performance of a lifetime. You know, clearly he's not going to win the Universal Championship, but I think that that he's going to give one of his all-time career performances, hopefully. You've got Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, which such a good job of, and I love too, Sasha Banks. Not that much. Well, there's not that much announced for both shows in terms of season premieres. And Sasha Banks is the only person other than Brock Lesnar who's got a feature spot on both the Raw and SmackDown season premieres. Let's take a second to applaud Sasha Banks on that. Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. I think this is great. I think that the season premiere is great. I think Paul Heyman is probably well aware of all the internet drama going on between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, and the internet world knowing that the beef between them is very, very real. You know, I think we've all watched the potatoes being thrown, Sasha to Alexa, Alexa to Sasha in the tag team matches that they've been in. So I think that this is going to be one that it gets us, the hardcores, excited about. And I think that this is a good spot for it. You got the United States Championship match, AJ Styles against Cedric Alexander. You know, I think as much as I want to see AJ Styles win, I think if you're going to put this on the season premiere, Cedric Alexander has to win. If Cedric Alexander doesn't win the U.S. title on Raw, he's dead in the water. This is the biggest spotlight that Cedric Alexander has ever had shined on him. And if he doesn't leave that spotlight with some gold that is bouncing the light right back off of it, then I think he's blown his opportunity. Cedric has to win the United States Championship on Monday Night Raw this week. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough road to climb back on, I believe. And then you've got the Raw Tag Team Champions, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler against Heavy Machinery. I hope Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler are going to keep their titles. And the reason that I hope that is because Robert Roode has been pushed to the moon over the last 3 weeks or so. You know, and I think the only reason they might lose is to get the tag titles off of him so Robert Roode can keep being pushed. But I think that having him as half the tag team champions is really going to build him. And while he's being built, also build the tag team division. So I'm very much in favor of seeing Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode get a decisive victory over Heavy Machinery. Okay, so Tuesday, maybe you're going to watch your Total Divas, maybe you're not. But Wednesday is the big day. Wednesday, AEW Dynamite on TNT, NXT on USA, both at 8 p.m., head-to-head. Now, of course, you can get started with NXT a little earlier over on the WWE Network and on WWE's social media channels. You'll be able to watch the NXT pre-show featuring myself, Charlie Caruso, and Pat McAfee. And I'm sure I'll say some controversial things that will give everybody that sent me hate tweets reason to send me 9 more. And I'm happy to do that. You know why? Because everybody that sent me a tweet that said, oh, Sam's on, I won't be watching. Yes, you will. But I'm super excited about that. My plan is, because you're probably sitting there going, like, you're supposed to have a podcast out on Thursday. I'm going to be doing Jim Norton and Sam Roberts from Orlando while I'm in Orlando. So my plan is to record the Thursday podcast this week in Orlando so that it gets out on time. But that's NXT. Before we get there, let's talk about AEW Dynamite and what's announced for that. The first match announced, Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. That match was announced a month or two ago on Twitter. And I think that was also announced before the AEW folks realized that NXT would be running head-to-head, and NXT is putting on the show of a lifetime, for God's sake, running head-to-head against them. But still, you know, I think Cody Rhodes wanted to show Sammy Guevara, show the world Sammy and everything that he's capable of, and hopefully that pans out. But with Cody already being announced as getting the title shot at the next pay-per-view, if Sammy Guevara beat him, then I would think that would mean that he should get the title shot because wins and losses matter so much. So I don't know, but it's an amazing opportunity for Sammy. It's an incredible opportunity for Sammy Guevara. I mean, talk about a spotlight being put on you. My God, that's about as big as it gets. The Women's Championship, the first AEW Women's Champion will be determined. Nyla Rose versus Rio. I think that this is a super important match because it's going to establish AEW's women's division. You know, this is the match that's going to show the world how seriously AEW is taking their women's division. And I think that these two athletes will answer that challenge. You know, I think that people will watch this. Now, you know, WWE's women's division is pretty spectacular as well. So I don't think people will sit there and go like, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for. But I think people will sit there and go like, oh my God, I can't believe how good this match was. You know, I think that AEW is going to try to have their women stealing shows the way WWE has been doing. It does on occasion. Not every show, but some shows. And I think this is going to be one of those things. I love the size differential between these two women. I don't know who. I think that Nyla Rose should probably be AEW's women's champion. I think that she looks scary. She looks intimidating. You know what I mean? You put her on a poster and it's like, oh, who can beat her? So, you know, but I think that it'll be great. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and two mystery partners. I would imagine that the two mystery partners are the former LAX that debuted it All Out. I would think that those will be Jericho's mystery partners. And if that is the six-man tag, Jericho and LAX versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, that's going to be huge. That's going to be massive. Just the fact that you have Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho both wrestling on this show, on this TV show, makes it an enormous show. But I think that that being the six-man, because I think you're going to end up, you know, Omega versus Jericho is that rivalry that won't go away and should never go away. And people want to see LAX versus Young Bucks. You know what I mean? That's the match that people want to see tag team-wise at AEW's next pay-per-view. So I think that's what you're going to end up seeing, I think. Then, well, just announced MJF versus Brandon Cutler, which, you know, good for both of them. I think it'll be a spotlight for MJF for sure. And then Hangman Page versus Pac. Now, this match was added to definitely amp up this show, because that match was supposed to be a pay-per-view match at one point. But, you know, I think that again, it's going to be... All these matches are matches that could tear the house down. Easily, Hangman Page versus Pac could tear the house down. And it's a good opportunity, because I think there will still be people watching. There will be a lot of people watching, hopefully, that have not seen AEW before. A lot of people watching that haven't seen the pay-per-views. So, because it's on television, I think you will find people that are like, oh, I remember Neville. You know what I mean? They'll know who Pac is from his work with WWE. I think this is the opportunity to explain to that audience that might not already know who Hangman Page really is and what he's all about. I have no doubt it's going to be a tremendous show. No doubt in my mind. It's going to be great. The question is, how will it stack up with everything else in the world of wrestling that's going to be going on that week? And will it be maintainable? Because we've seen two very good episodes of NXT. Very good episodes of NXT. This one, I think they're looking to make it the first great episode of NXT on USA. I mean, it's booked like a takeover show. You've got title matches on title matches. I don't think a North American title match has been made, but all the other titles are on the line. You've got the Street Profits trying to regain the tag titles from the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Now, again, this is the Street Profits opportunity. You know, the people who watch wrestling on the USA Network, all they know of the Street Profits is a couple of guys that do ridiculous skits on Monday Night Raw. Now they're going to get to see him in the ring. The Street Profits focus their energy properly. They could have people looking at them in a different light, in a very positive way. You got Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle. This is a match that people have been waiting for a long time. NXT Championship is on the line. It's a dream match, for sure. And you know, I think that this is a match. And by the way NXT is, you could say this is a match that could have happened at a takeover, and this is a match that probably still will happen at a takeover. Because there's no way you're going to have Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle and go like, okay, I've seen it once. I don't ever need to see it again. You're going to want to see this match again and again and again and again. So I'm not really worried about that getting wasted. I think it's going to be amazing. Then you got Shayna Baszler defending the NXT Women's Championship, the most dominant NXT Women's Champion in history, against Candice LeRae, who's never had a title opportunity before in NXT. There's no way Candice LeRae is going to beat Shayna Baszler. But I still think, what a great story. And what a way to showcase both, really, Shayna Baszler. Because you're going to get to see how ruthless Shayna Baszler is when she crushes the dreams of Candice LeRae. And I can't wait to watch the whole thing. I mean, it's clear that NXT is not coming to mess around. NXT has shown up to show the world everything that they can do. And I'm so excited that I'll be able to see it firsthand. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then, of course, Friday, you know, we'll be back on the air before Friday. We'll be back with another podcast on Thursday. But Friday, you've got a huge SmackDown. You're going to have legends there. I don't think they've all been confirmed. We'll get into it on Thursday. But you've got Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston. You got Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus Bayley and Sasha. You got Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. Career versus career ladder match. I mean, I don't know what more you could want. And they're doing a kickoff show on Friday. I don't think I'm going to be on that kickoff show. That's a blue carpet special. So I think they're going to have the, you know, the blue carpet interview specialist, not the opinionated nerds like me on the panel. They're going to have the blue carpet interview specialist handling that. But again, pulling out all the stops. Man, what a time. What a time to be a wrestling fan. We got to do two podcasts a week just to keep up with it. And we will. Stay up to date with everything that's going on. Subscribe to Not Sam Wrestling. Leave us a review on iTunes. Do the whole thing. We'll see you on Thursday for more Not Sam Wrestling. I can't wait. Let's see how this pans out. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Rate, review, and subscribe. This has been Not Sam Wrestling.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.